Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining me for today's SMIE Consulting Midweek Roundup. This is our first edition of the new year. Happy to be with you again after a two-week break for Christmas and New Year's holidays. And today we're going to be taking a look at three issues that have popped up over the last couple of weeks in international ed news feeds. And we'll take a look at how those might be impacting what you do on your college and university campuses. Before we begin, let me introduce myself. My name is Marty Bennett. I'm the president and founder of Social Media and International Education Consulting. And we offer this weekly news roundup, midweek roundup, to give you a chance to hear our perspectives on some of the issues affecting our industry and how you might be able to use this information to your benefit on your individual college campuses. And what we do each Monday is we produce a newsletter called All the SMIE News Fit to Share. It comes in your inboxes free of charge on Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern. And we take three of those stories from that roundup of news that covers international ed and social media news. And we then take three of those stories on Wednesday and highlight those, go a bit more in depth to help you find information that might be relevant for you and maybe look at things from a perspective that you might not have considered previously. So what we're going to do today is we'll take a look at some very important issues. We all know I'm after the Open Doors release in November. There's been a lot of analysis of those recent numbers that have popped in and what that might mean for universities and colleges around the United States. And what we do each week, and particularly this week, we're going to look at one of the major organizations that are involved with international education in the United States, and that is NACAC, National Association for College Admissions Counseling. They have had an international division for about 10 years now that has provided some extra support resources for its members, which are undergraduate admissions offices in the United States, as well as overseas college counselors that are working with students looking to come to the United States. So the International ACAC is an affiliate of NACAC, but the NACAC National Office has, as I mentioned, an international initiatives division that does quite a bit of work in the field and has some has just produced a very useful report or article online on their site related to international student mobility to the United States. It takes a look at some of the reasons, and this is what we'll highlight today, some of the reasons for the decline. We've covered those quite a bit here on the roundup, but we'll look at how a major national organization is looking at these issues. We'll also take a look at ISTARS, a review site, a TripAdvisor site for international educators. And then we'll look at China, again, a common theme throughout the roundup over the last few weeks and months, but looking at them in a global perspective on how not just they are sending hundreds of thousands of students abroad every year, but they're also becoming increasingly a primary destination for international students. So we'll talk about what that means. So let's start with NACAC. And this report, as I mentioned, has just come out over the holidays. And Rena, thank you for joining. I hope all is well with you. Looking forward to your contributions on this to the discussion here. With regard to this report from NACAC, they highlight a lot of the reasons for decline in the new international students enrolling this past year as well as the past 3 years. They look at competition with other countries, which we talk about regularly here on the roundup. They talk about student concerns about guns and violence, increased visa delays or denials, uncertainty regarding the future of H-1B visas, unpredictable U.S. political environment, reduction of scholarship programs in home countries like Saudi Arabia, high tuition costs at U.S. institutions, and challenges completing standardized testing outside of the United States. I think that's really a very accurate summary of the range of issues that are impacting international students in terms of their choices, in terms of where they can and will decide to go, and some of the reasons specifically why the United States has been impacted negatively over the last 3 years at least. And from those eight major issues that they've outlined, there are certainly few of these that can be laid squarely at the footsteps of the current administration. But there are also quite a few on that, reduction of outside scholarship programs, high tuition rates, standardized testing access, competition with other countries, that certainly are beyond this administration's scope. So I think it does portray fairly the wide range of issues that are impacting international students. Delcy, thanks for joining me. Hope you're well, and life is good. And I don't know if you're fully retired now. I know you've been doing quite a bit with other institutions consulting, but I hope you're well. Looking forward to your contributions to the discussion here as well. But the NACAC report, I think, is very useful because, as with most things in this world, it's not just enough to lay blame at the feet of politics or overseas competition or other factors. It's you got to have some idea how to respond to these things, these crises. Veronica, good to see you too. Hope you're well. And with the NACAC report, what they do also outline are some steps that people can take to respond to the concerns that these decline in international student numbers means. They talk about outreach and advocacy as two of the big elements of strategies that institutional reps can use. So kudos to the team at NACAC's International Initiatives Division. And I know that Lindsay Addington and her team there are doing great work, and I'm really happy that they're getting on the bandwagon here and taking proactive steps, not only outlining the issues, but also equipping their members to respond to this. And that what that means is, and some of the steps they outline, talking to your dean or president and sharing your institution's international student enrollment figures, the history as well, highlighting the economic consequences of declines in enrollment and discuss reasons for that, and not just your own institution being an island in the sea where everybody else is seeing increases and you're the only one seeing decreases. Certainly not the case. And certainly our institutional leaders need to be made aware of that. But it's also about going beyond your own institution and encouraging elected officials to support policies, as NACAC outlines here, that promote international student mobility to the United States. So there's several ways to do this. They mention NACAC's annual advocacy day that they hold in late February, early March. NAFSA has their own version of that in February or March. So they have various action alerts that NAFSA puts out that are very useful, I think. And they equip you if you to get in touch with your congressmen, your senators, to let them know of your concerns as a constituent of your state, of your districts, to how valuable these students are to our nation, and support policies that are encouraging of international student enrollments in our institutions. Sister cities, business leaders need to be engaged. Where there are partner relationships, sister states, those types of things. Your state consortia can be an excellent resource. So that's not part of this list from NACAC, but certainly a lot of ways that your individual, that you can go beyond your own institution in terms of impacting what your district, your state, your region, or other institutions, like-minded institutions. And certainly that was one thing when we look back in histories of recent history on when there was a previous dip post 9/11. One of the things that we experienced in Indiana, where I was working at the time, is we needed to band together as institutions, because we knew we were up against it then with the perception in the Muslim world about the United States not being a welcoming destination anymore. We formed together as a state consortia. We did consortium, and we developed a number of activities to help attract more international students to our state. There's real value in that when we work together as organizations, as institutions together as a state organization or regional or national organizations, to really showcase our what we have as institutions, as a state, but also individual institutions. And really the value of that is cannot be overstated in this kind of a climate where we are being faced by a lot of other lot of other issues that are impacting our ability to reach our reach prospective students. So again, kudos to NACAC for a great report. And as we do always, we post the links to these stories in the comments section here on the Facebook page for SMIE Consulting. We also podcast this on your favorite podcast providers. So if you'd rather listen than watch, you can certainly download at your pleasure and subscribe to the Midweek Roundup podcast available on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, Stitcher, or Spotify. So please do take advantage of that if you aren't. And thanks to those who have already subscribed. We've had over 400 downloads of the podcast in the last year. I'm very happy to bring this to you each week. And hopefully we'll have more of you listening as the days and weeks go along. Now, next up is ISTARS. This is a new service that was launched, free service that was launched last fall by Jessica Guyver at University of Texas, San Antonio. Jessica has been in international ed for a number of years, first in the UK, but has come over to the US in the last few years and is working down at UT San Antonio as Director of International Undergraduate Admissions. Real leader in the field, and certainly she's put together this service here, featured in a recent Pi News article. It's called ISTARS, and so when I first see that, I think of Ishtar, that awful Dustin Hoffman movie and Warren Beatty movie from the 80s. That was just horrendous, but it's certainly not that. The ISTAR stands for International Student Admissions and Recruitment Services Review. ISTARS review. So what Jessica's idea for this service is for it to serve as sort of a trip advisor for international education. So for professionals in the field that are looking to find out more about different service providers for CRMs, for lead generation, for re-engagement with prospective students, a lot of different services out there, a lot of different systems out there, hard to make sense of them all. So it's a place where hopefully people can go on, and if you've used systems or products or services, been to conferences, used services from Education USA to AIRC to all these other organizations out there that are important pieces of the puzzle for international educators to know. It's a place for reviews, kind of a trip advisor for international education administrators and officials. So I definitely recommend you check it out. The Pi News has a nice article about it. I'm also going to be posting the link to the actual review site. And it does, right now, it started in October, and a lot of the initial content on it was generated by Jessica and her team. That have been engaged with the different service providers, from the conferences to the organizations to CRM providers to recruitment tour providers. All of those kinds of things are covered with this ISTARS review system. So if you've appeal for me, if you have used any of these products or services or organizations or trips or services, do get on there and add your content. And this is add your opinions, your reviews of the services you've used to the site, and make it a useful one for our colleagues in the field, because that's what we're all here for in international ed, is to really support each other. I think even though we have jobs at our institutions, we definitely feel a certain allegiance to each other and need to support each other, particularly in times like these when we're all under the gun, so to speak, with regard to bringing in classes and having to diversify our recruitment sources and all these other all the other factors that we're facing day to day. So I definitely encourage you all to check out the ISTARS site and let it be a place where you can go to for information and other reviews like TripAdvisor. There's not an app for that yet, but I'm sure if it develops well enough, that could be in the offing. But certainly it's a concept that certainly fits with the times where we all want to, before we buy a product, before we use a service, before we go to a conference, we want to know if it's actually going to be worthwhile for us. Talking to peers is certainly going to help us find that out. But if there's a central clearinghouse for this kind of information that we can all contribute to regularly, certainly recommend that this is a great idea that hopefully more folks in our profession will engage in. So kudos to Jessica and her team at UTSA. And hopefully that will become a more regular feature in international education offices. All right, we'll turn now to a topic. China is a huge topic, obviously, a huge country, over a billion people that are always on our thoughts and minds. Certainly in international ed circles, we're typically either thinking about ways that we can stem the flow of decline in Chinese students coming to our campus, or if you haven't had any success in China, how do you break into that market? What are the ways you can do that? We've talked about a lot of those here on the Roundup over the past few months. But one thing that I think has gone under the radar for a lot of institutions, and it's part of what my approach here at the Roundup is to use this time to really put what we do in the United States in a global context. And one, as the NACAC report about the reasons for declines of international students coming to the United States for new ones in the last few years, one of those reasons is increased global competition. And it's so hard for us sometimes even to get out of our own institutional bubbles to understand how significant a problem this is, that the United States for many years was kind of the unassailed leader in international ed and in first international student mobility for students coming to our country. There was really never a concern. Yeah, Australia was out there, the UK was out there, but as other major destination countries. But we had such a large, unassailable lead. That lead is shrinking, as we've talked about, that our piece of the global international student mobility pie has shrunk from about 25-26% back in 2000 to under, I think it's 21% now. Those numbers are going to continue to decline as a percentage of the overall pie. But the part of the positive side of how we need to look at this is the globally mobile group of students that are studying outside their country is increasing. That number was 2.7 million back in the early 2000s. It's over almost 5 million now. So that pie has almost doubled in the last 20 years. And what that means is, obviously, they haven't all come to the United States. Is there are more destination countries that these students are considering. That 10, 15 years ago, China was not even in the top 20 as a destination market for international students. And as we've talked about on the Roundup here before, and one thing that I don't think a lot of colleagues appreciate in the industry now, is it's not just it's not just U.S., U.K., Canada, Australia, New Zealand as the major English-speaking destinations that are where students are growing. New Zealand's actually far down the list. It's like 11th or 12th now. But China is now third as a destination, maybe even second as the number two destination for international students. Certainly within the next couple of years, they're looking to overtake the U.K. Depending on which measures you use, they may already be past the U.K., the Chinese market is one that is, for international students, is one that is very rife for interest. There has been a growing number of countries that have been sending students to China. Part of that, we've talked about here on the Roundup before, is due to the Belt and Road Initiative that China has introduced, where over the last 10, 15 years, they've spent over $1 trillion in infrastructure projects primarily, but also educational partnerships, scholarship programs to bring students from countries where they have these large investments in infrastructure and other resources for countries in South and East Asia, in Africa in particular. Now they're expanding into Europe. So what does that mean for China, that they are spending, they see as a priority? Hey, we've seen what's happened to the United States, and when we talk about the United States as a destination for international students, I used to work with Education USA and with the folks at the State Department. One of their philosophies was, or guiding principles was, we're creating foreign students today, world leaders tomorrow. That the students that come to the United States are educated here are typically the ones that, when they return home, are going to become leaders in their countries. Whether it's the scholarship programs that brought them to this country in the first place, or they were coming from families that were already well-connected, for U.S. education and going back. They come here, experience our culture, experience what the United States is really about, and they take those values home with them to help influence when they become leaders in business, in politics, in whatever it might be. They become leaders who know the United States and know what we're about. And that's what gets lost, I think, in the shuffle, that it's the State Department sees it very much as a public diplomacy tool. The international students that come to the U.S. and go home, and U.S. students that go abroad and then return home. Other departments in the United States, governments, the Commerce Department sees very much it as a business enterprise with international education. The students that come, international students that come from our board are seen as an export industry worth over $42 billion a year. So when we look at these various issues and China, obviously having seen this, what's happened with the U.S., with the U.K., Australia over the years, they've seen what that's meant for our countries. It's now seeing, they want some of that too. They want to expand their influence in the world and have those students come to China to be educated and to understand the country more and to experience its culture and all of the wonderful things that we shout from the rooftops about how valuable that experience is for international students coming to our country. China's trying to do the same thing for theirs. And understanding that what China is doing, particularly in Africa, when you look at the amount of money they've spent in Africa, or either Chinese companies, Chinese government officials, projects by national products, projects and products that have been developed, they have built huge infrastructure projects, airports, seaports, bases, roadways, all of these things are been part of that Belt and Road Initiative, but they've also laid down a strong foundation in Africa to bring students from those countries back to China for studies. The scholarship programs that they put in place, the relationships that they've developed, now have placed China second as a destination country after France, then China, and then the U.S. and the U.K. as the top destinations for African students studying outside their home countries. And that's significant. China wasn't even on the radar 20 years ago for African students as a destination. But in the noughties and the teens, China had expanded their higher ed capacity. They developed international divisions of their universities to host international students. They've incorporated hundreds and if not thousands of English language programs at their institutions to attract students from around the world. To give you a sense of how significant this is, one of the companies, organizations I do work for is British Council, IELTS in particular. The British Council is part of IELTS that they own, using that as a tool to give international students access, English language-wise, to different educational markets. And in the last year, I've been asked by IELTS as part of my responsibilities for them, is to provide summaries on a quarterly basis in both a report form, but also doing live chats like this for student markets, students, international students that are looking to go to the traditional markets, U.S., U.K., Australia, Canada, New Zealand. But they've also, since May this year, have asked me to start doing one for China. And that's been really valuable for me to understand, because part of what I present each quarter is, okay, here's what the process is if you're looking to apply to universities in China, to U.S., wherever. Here's the steps to you go through to apply for a visa. Here's how much it costs. You go through a lot of the details there, providing that in report form, but also in live chat form, and talking about options. And when I first started that, I was like, China? Why are we doing? Why is China a serious destination? But it is. The reality is that China is the top three in the world right now as a destination for international students. So it's certainly one thing that international educators need to be aware of. And certainly as we position our own institutions as it relates to our competition in the world for international students, we need to understand who our competitors are. And again, it's now, it's not just the English-speaking world. It's understanding how we fit as a country, the United States fits as a country, in relation to other major markets where students are also considering. So no longer is it just an international student from India or China is just looking at the United States. They're looking at first destinations in their home countries, but also in their region, but also other English-speaking destinations, and maybe even Europe for an Indian or Chinese student. They might be looking at Germany. They might be looking at France as well as the UK as a potential option. And those have become realistic and practical options as other countries have developed capacity and develop international education and international student recruitment offices in their campuses. It's really been a sea change over the last 30 years that I've been in the industry. Understanding what's going on and how individual countries are positioning themselves as destinations for international students. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of perspective on who our competition really is. And it is a very broad swath of the world that is now involved in international student recruitment. So until next time, we'll cover more topics like this in next week's roundup. Again, 1 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. So I want to thank a big shout out to those that have been downloading the podcast each week and listening in. It's good to be back in 2020. Looking forward to some wonderful conversations and some amazing new topics we'll be covering in the coming weeks and months. So have a great day. Cheers.